Gino, what does a pizza guy, a drug rep, and an NFL superstar have in common?
They all quit their jobs and went into multifamily and are making it happen in this part of the market cycle, Jake.
Make it happen. Hello, everybody. This is Jake Senzio, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano, I'm doing great, brother. How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is an elite athlete, an elite researcher, and on his way to becoming an elite multifamily investor. He retired from the NFL after 7 years to pursue his doctorate in clinical health psychology and live his passion for helping others create a greater quality of life. So please welcome Julius Thomas to the show. All right, so Julius, I was a drug rep. Gino was a pizza guy. You were an NFL superstar. In your opinion, what are the steps, as Stephen Pressfield likes to say? He says, put your ass where your heart wants to be. So we're all about multifamily on this show. So what are the steps from getting started as a multifamily investor and actually getting something accomplished without it just being this pie in the sky?
Man, I think that it's probably going to be easier said than done, obviously. But I think the first step is immersion, right? I talk about this a lot, and I talk about this as one of the key practices in being great at anything. Go immerse yourself in it. Go to events, add it to your Google alerts, find ways that you're constantly learning about the space. Like, if you want to be successful in something, you've got to start getting into it. And it doesn't even matter which door you walk through first, but just keep walking through doors, keep building relationships, keep finding ways to always be around that thing that you want to get better at. And if it's multifamily, then you got to ask yourself, how many hours of the day am I spending either reading, watching, or talking about multifamily?
And let me add to that, Jake, because I know Julius really well and I've studied him. And what Julius talks about is mastery. So if you want to master something, you need to commit to it. And the words that he didn't mention is, what are you sacrificing to commit to something? That's important in his repertoire. And I'm learning from the master.
That's not okay to say, Gino. You can't sacrifice. You got to have everything, right? There's no sacrifice in today's life.
Hey, you're sacrificing because all of a sudden you can't go out and play golf with your buddies, or you can't go out and drink that day because you're going to see a broker. So make sure that whatever you're committing to is that important, and understand that you need the discipline that Julius constantly talks about. And you need to understand in your mind that there are going to be sacrifices in the short run to live a more fulfilling life.
Gino, can I comment for a second? And the reason I said that is because I feel like there's so much of this stuff going around on Instagram and YouTube from like these business gurus, and they don't talk about actual sacrifice. It's all sunshine and rainbows, and you got to do a 5-hour work week to have millions of dollars and everything you need. So very good point, and I appreciate your transparency there, sir. No question.
No, Gino, like you're right. Like, I talk about this a lot, right? People say, you know, what does it take to be a great professional athlete? Well, the non-glamorous side is what you sacrifice. And I'm talking about everything from being able to go to weddings for people that you love, being able to even go on vacations that you can afford to go on because you can't take that much time away from what you do. Somebody was asking me the other day, because I got really into jujitsu and it's like my thing to, you know, stay healthy. He was saying, you know, what are we working on today? I said, we're working on the same thing we worked on last week, because we're going to work on it over and over again until it gets so boring I can't stand it anymore. And then we're going to do it twice as much, because that's what it takes. It takes me spending that couple hours going over the same thing over and over and over again, because if you're not putting a sacrifice in, if you haven't put the time in, if you're not repeating constantly, and you're not trying to find that next way to get better, like this pursuit of perfection. Some people criticize me. They say, well, why do you teach people to have a pursuit of perfection? Perfection is not possible. And I say, well, you obviously don't know what it takes to be great. Great people pursue it, even though they know it's not possible. I can't have a perfect game. No one's ever going to have a perfect deal, but we're pursuing it. And it's that grind and that intention to get after it and to try to make it perfect that helps you get consistently better over time.
Jake, Julius sounds like my opera teacher, George Friedlander. Talk about doing the same exact thing over and over and over. Cuando sono solo, sono l'orizzonte, mancan le parole.
It's getting a little bit better.
I've said that phrase about 3,000 times in the last 3 months just for Mr. Stenziano.
You need about 30,000 more, my friend.
I'm so sick of singing that song, but you know what? It's true. It's the grind, you know? Si lo so che non c'è luce in una stanza quando manca il sole. I've said that so many times, and it's getting to be boring, but repetition and putting in the reps will ultimately get you to become better. And this can translate into multifamily. If you want to underwrite a deal, then underwrite another deal, then continue to underwrite that same deal, changing the strike price, changing the expenses, changing the debt, and seeing what happens, the levers that you're able to pull so you will ultimately become a master. And I think sticking into it and having that understanding of the why and that commitment and that sacrifice, and then one day you're going to wake up and go, wow, I can nail that underwriting. I feel so good about it, and it'll become automatic, but you need to put in the reps on the front end, Jake.
Agree completely. I was doing it last night. I was pencil whipping a deal, as we like to say. Well, maybe if I could get the rate a little lower, maybe if I could push the expenses down. And I said, I know what I'm doing. I got to back off this thing because that ain't even realistic. So 100%.
Love that. Julius, for the listeners out there that don't know you, don't know your story, why don't you share with you know, how you got into the NFL and now this ultimate new career and how you've, I guess, shifted your identity from, you know, being a superstar, being on TV, now going out and serving others.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's something I'm growing in comfortability with, is talking about myself, my story. You know, I'm just a regular kid. I grew up in Stockton, California, man, the oldest of three boys. I grew up in your typical middle-class neighborhood, and I was a guy walking down the street, you know, $5 in his pocket in high school, imagining, wondering what life is going to be like when I grow up, right? And I had the fortunate experience to, you know, have some pretty great athletic ability. But ability is a French word like potential, right? I had a coach that always tell me, Julius, you got great potential. That's a French word. It means you haven't done shit yet. And you gotta work for it. You gotta make it happen. And I had this dream to be a college basketball player. And I was able to reach that obstacle. And then get to college, and I say, well, you know what? I want to make the most out of this experience in college. So I'm going to college, I'm playing basketball, enjoying myself, and get this idea, and I think I could be a great football player. And everybody says, no chance. No chance you can go from playing basketball to Portland State. You're a forward. You're 220 pounds. You can't play football. So I go out to the football field. Everybody's laughing at me. All the guys I went to school with, they're like, bro, give it up. Your routes are terrible. This isn't for you. But, you know, I just stick with it. I stick with it. I go off this commitment to this vision I had. And I said, you know what? I can make this happen. 10 months later, I get drafted into the NFL. And that really helped me turn another corner in my life to really start to convince myself of what belief and some of this repetition and some of this discipline can do for you. And I had a great career, spent 7 years in the NFL, a couple of times being a Pro Bowler. But then I got this different passion, this feeling inside of me where I like helping other people be great more than I like being great myself. And through that passion, I started to figure out, well, what's the thing? What do I want to do? I want to help people have balance between being able to be great performers, but at the same time, having some of this well-being, right? Does life matter? I've seen guys make millions of dollars, they're miserable. I've seen people make $60,000 a year, be the happiest people on earth. Well, so what is it that I want for everybody that I work with, everybody that I talk to? I want them to have balance between performance and well-being. And I went back to school, working on a doctorate, starting to wrap that thing up so that I could learn what it takes to help a person have well-being, merge that together with what I know it takes to be a high performer, and then start to give it to people, right? It's like, I don't want to be a speaker. I want to be a teacher. Like, we were on a call and you told me that somebody told you that, a light bulb went off in my head and said, that's what I want to do. I just want to teach people these things that I've learned to help them become the masterpiece that they are.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with the listeners what that decision was to leave at the peak of your career and to have people say, you're crazy, you're leaving all this money on the table? How did you come about with that decision?
You know, it's a, if you notice that theme, right? Here, you're crazy. What are you doing? Same thing when I switched from playing basketball. They said, go play basketball overseas for a while, right? You're right there. But for me, it's belief. You know, I have a belief in the Lord. And for me, everything comes through that. And I told myself when I signed my first big deal, I said, you know what, God, I don't know what it is that you want me to do with my life. But when you call me, I'm going to go. And 7 years into my NFL career, I felt the stirring inside. And I'm a big believer. When I feel that stirring inside, I need to pay attention to it and need to act on it. That same stir told me to stop playing basketball and go to football. So when I got this feeling inside, I said, you know, what is that? And I was always telling myself, somebody should help that guy. Somebody should help that guy. And then one day, why not you? But then I had to go put the work in to be able to do it so that I could do it at a high level, because that's what I expect from myself. And it's been very rewarding. I can't tell you what I've learned from spending days around millionaires and billionaires to seeing people with spinal cord injuries and traumatic brain injuries and autoimmune diseases, and having that perspective in a short period of time in life. It fills me with gratitude, to be honest.
Was that the same feeling you had when you came over to us at MM4 and said, hey, I want to speak to you and get to know you? Was that the same feeling? You're like, I got to talk to that guy.
No, exactly. So, right. It's like, My girlfriend, she calls me, she says, hey, there's this real estate conference, right? We're talking about how you get great at multifamily. You have to immerse yourself. Go put yourself into the situation. So she says, hey, I know you're super busy. You're in school. We have a kid. How about you just come up here? I could only come up there for one day. Like, all I had was one day of time. Flew up there, was able to sit. I wanted to be around 1,000 other people that wanted to be great in this space that we had started working towards. And so I'm just sitting there, man. I've got a notebook out. You know what? I'll bring my notebook so I can show you guys the notes that I'm taking, because I do the same thing the same way all the time. It's serious for me. So I'm taking notes. I'm listening to all the speakers. And I get a chance to meet you. And I'm like, look, hey, Gino, great to meet you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Hey, this is my girlfriend. This is what we're looking to build. And from there, you know, we've started to build a friendship and to be able to have many conversations about things. But when I went to MM4, I was there because I wanted to see how I could take the next level in becoming even better at what I'm doing in the multifamily space.
And when, I guess, as you say, God opens the door, you have to actually walk through that door. Because I could have said, ah, I'm too tired, I don't have time, you know, but at these events, I love these events because I'm like you, I want to meet as many people as possible. And I want to be able to say, hey, you know, I don't want to say the role model, but say if the pizza guy and a drug rep can do it, You can do it as well. And throughout our conversations, one thing that's really cool that I enjoy talking about is responsibility and sin. And I think a lot of things that are going on in society nowadays, it's nobody's fault. You know, we just say, hey, you know, how do you become successful other than committing? The word responsibility, Jake and I are always throwing it around, the responsibility junkie. You just showed it. You only had one day to come up to MM4 and to be able to part of it. Now you're going to be speaking at MM5. So to me, that's an amazing transformation of saying, I'm going to become responsible. Hey, I'm hearing the Lord's calling. I think I'm done with football. I'm going to go take this new path and I'm going to become responsible and put in 900 hours of clinical work and do all this extra work and sit in the front seat while everyone else is behind me. And I'm this older guy and being uncomfortable. Can you talk about that as far as responsibility? I mean, not blaming others, but taking the responsibility upon ourselves.
Yeah, you know, responsibility to direct what happens in your life is something that maybe it's called an old skill, right? We don't talk about it enough. You know, we talk about a lot of these cool, trendy things, but for me, what are you doing personally to make sure that the vision you have in your mind happens? And that's what I teach with my 5 keys to success. You know, you got to get disciplined, right? So for me, it's here comes an opportunity. How can I get disciplined about one day, right? Having to get on an airplane, fly to Orlando, take an Uber to the hotel. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my notebook out and I'm going to start taking notes because I don't want to miss any material. And then from there, you know, what are the other things that are important to being successful? Getting guidance, right? No one talks about it enough. Guidance. If you have somebody that's been in this space longer than you, has more experience than you, has done more deals than you, get in their hip pocket. I got to learn from some of the best athletes in the world from getting in their hip pocket and learning what they do. Then you got to have that support group, that network at home, that network with friends. And then you got to be resilient, right? You know, how do you get through 900 hours? How do you handle responsibility? you start to take it on your shoulders and you start to say, no matter what happens, I'm headed to that point, right? It's like going on a journey. Like you're an old explorer. Put a dot on that map and say, I'm getting there. All these things are going to come up along the way. These things that are going to knock you down. These things that are going to make you afraid. These things that are going to make you sad, angry. It doesn't matter. You have to wear it all. And you got to welcome it, right? Like
unpack that piece though, because that's so hard. Like when you get punched in the nose and you're bleeding and bad things are happening in your personal life or business, how do you absorb it and be okay with it? I think that's one of the things is people like duck and run at that point.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons why being resilient, I think, is the most important part to having success, right? What do you do when suffering or unwelcome experience shows up? It's the same thing I tell people when I'm working in a hospital, right? When you talk to somebody that's just had their leg amputated and they're looking you in the eyes and they're saying, dude, I can't go on. What does this mean for me as a father? What does this mean for me as a mother? How am I going to find a way to provide for my... All of those are real questions, right? That's really getting punched in the mouth. When you lose a leg, when you turn
such
left
good perspective.
Stoplight, yeah. And you get a spinal cord injury and you lost the ability to move both legs, something like that happens, you got to start to tell people and ask them, who are you? Are you going to change based on circumstances that come up in life, right? That first deal that didn't go great and you're kicking yourself in the butt about all the mistakes you made, are you going to then change? Are you going to stay true to who you are? So you have to be deeply connected with what your values are and who you are as a person. Like everything that's come up in my life, on my first catch in the NFL, I tore the ligaments in my ankle. I missed 2 years. 2 years rehabilitating on your first catch in the NFL.
How many guys just don't come back from that too? Like,
too many. Too many because it's hard, right? There's so little to look forward to. You had to go so far down to come back up. And that's what I think is so important for people to see is on any journey in life, be prepared to go down before you can come up and be prepared that task is going to demand something from you. You think you could just be great for free? No, whatever you want to be great at is going to have a price tag. And that price tag is going to be X amount of hours that suck, X amount of hours of growing and stretching you emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever it may be. And you got to be willing. Nothing's going to come easy.
The universe loves to toy with us. And I've been experiencing this. We've been in, running this business. I know we've been in it since 2011. And every... There's just these inflection points where we're like, oh, we got there. We got it figured out. We got the systems dialed in, black eye. And then you take that step back, you come back up from it and you grow. And it's this constant, back and forth, but there's incremental gains along the way. But if you quit or you start to, woe is me. And this is so, horrible. You're done. You just got to, I can't agree with you more with the resilience. I had a tough day yesterday. I'm going to be honest with you. And just being, around a positive person right now, like promoting that is helpful.
You want to be vulnerable a little bit, Jake? You can share with me, bro. You can share with me.
It's the perspective piece though. It's the perspective piece, right? Like I think the thing of what you said that really did it for me was, I was looking inwards about, oh man, this is just, oh, here it is again. But dude, you just hit it for me though. A guy just had his leg amputated. Did I really have a bad day? Really? Am I really complaining? Like, can I look around in my life? Did I have a bad day? Suck it up, dude. Holy crap. I'm done. I can go have a good rest of the week now, Julius. You changed my life. Thank you.
It's so real.
I'm serious though. Like it's so real, dude.
And if it wasn't a challenge, if being great was easy, how can we celebrate it? How can we feel good inside, right? We know the thing that was easy. It doesn't feel remotely as amazing as the thing that's hard. I was thinking about this because now I'm watching things. I'm reflecting. You see guys, right, where they win a championship, they're in tears. Like, oh, I just won the World Series. I've been watching the Derek Jeter's, the captain.
Because of the sacrifice, dude, that he went through, right?
That's what the tears are for. Yeah. People think the tears are tears of joy. No, the tears are releasing all the pain and suffering and sacrifice that you put into getting that. And that's what we don't talk about and we don't promote enough. Mm-hmm. We think life is this simple, easy place. I tell people all the time, this is Earth. Earth demands it of you. Earth is always bringing you a challenge. And I look at myself as an adventurer. I look at myself as this person that's on this constant journey to try to master new things. And I need it to be difficult, right? As I'm trying to work at jiu-jitsu, right? If I just walked into the place and became the best, it wouldn't have meant anything. But when you got to sit there on that mat and you got to suffer to learn the new techniques and to become more proficient at the skill, you go, wow, now this means something to me. When you decide, you know, I think I can change my life. I think I can change the life of my family for generations to come because I'm going to get into real estate and I'm going to take multifamily and I'm going to start there. And you start putting that grind in and then you get to your first deal and you're like, wow, that felt amazing. I had no clue that I could even, I even had the ability to do this. And then you get to your second and then you make it a couple circles around the calendar, right? And you're going, look at all this hard work stacked on top of itself does. You said something, we were on a call not too long ago. You said, put decades on decades. You were reading a autobiography and they said, put decades on decades. And that stuck with me because I want this life to be challenging so that I can test myself. And I want more people to take on challenges so they can find out what they're about. You got to find out, are you the guy that quits in the third quarter? Are you the team that packs it up for the season because you started off 0-4? What is it that you're going to learn about yourself while you're here in this life? And I've seen some of the most courageous examples from being an athlete to talking to a person with an autoimmune disease that just wants to be able to pick up a fork again. And I tell them, no, don't give up. You're going to go to therapy today and you're going to give it your best because you're going to be able to pick that fork up again, right? The person that says, you know, I don't know if understanding and underwriting deals is possible to me. You know, I wasn't a great math person in school or I didn't have this training. Okay, go get it. Okay, push for it. Do the underwriting over and over again. Figure out how you find the right valuation. I'm going to constantly push people to get the best out of themselves because that feels rewarding for me inside and I know it's going to be rewarding for them.
The word human comes from a humus, which means dirt. And also,
come on, dude, are you being serious right now?
I'm serious.
Sorry, go ahead.
There's a little diversion into this. If you let
I got
me,
you. I'm sorry.
If you finish the word humus, the word humility comes from that word as well. Yeah. And you need to exhibit humility into what you're doing. Be humble enough to say that I don't know how to underwrite. Be humble enough to say that I have to sit in the front seat of school while all these other 22-year-olds are behind me and they know a lot more than me. And I think a lot of us aren't humble enough and ego gets in the way a lot of this. We have to look good. I'll give you a perfect example this morning. I went fishing with my daughter at 6 a.m. this morning. I didn't bring the cast net out there because I've never cast net before. I didn't want to look like a moron trying to figure out how to cast net offshore. So we all fall prey to it. I mean, like I got to practice. I got to practice in my pool first before I go out and look like a moron. But what's the difference how you look like or how you're perceived? It's because we're worried about the ego and worried about not being humble enough to say, I need help. And can you expand on that, Julius? And Jake, yes, humus. Human, dirt, Adam.
Sounds like me trying to park dirt, a pontoon boat, Gino.
I'm not sure if that was Latin or Greek, but I like it, right? Because humility is one of my favorite words. Like, are you humble enough to be bad at something in the beginning? Like, it doesn't matter what you find a person that can start something new and be great overnight. It just cannot happen. Humility is such an important aspect of becoming great in what we do, right? And I love talking about this process of getting laughed at in the beginning, right? Because that was for me, like it, beyond just me experiencing sucking personally, I've done so many new things where I've got laughed at while being new. I was just talking to you guys earlier and telling you how when I made the switch from basketball to football, my friends and guys that used to play on the football team, they would come watch me run routes and laugh from the side, heckle me, talk about how I should give it up, how I should quit. This isn't for me. I'm so far away from where I need to be good at this. But I said, that's okay. Laugh at me. Because in that moment, something was ticking in my mind. Something was saying, I'm going to get the last laugh. Because I don't care what it takes. I'm going to be the person that if I stay up all night, I'm going to stay up all night. When you have a commitment and you've decided I'm going to become a master, I'm going to get this thing down. What does the momentary experience matter? Right? Those circumstances that are here in this moment are not the circumstances that are going to be in the next moment. So you have to be able to frame that for yourself. Think about it in that way. Okay, I'm going to go through this period that's very uncomfortable, something that I'm not very sure about myself because I'm going to get to the place that I want to get to. Everybody looks at a mountain, right? And they're like, oh, the journey to success is like climbing a mountain. But what about the valley? What about where it's dark, where it's cold, the wind's whipping around? and you got to step and walk through these challenging experiences. That's where people prove to me who they are, right? No one shows me anything about themselves when times are great. I learn about people as they go through the rough times. And if you're willing to do that and you can endure, there's nothing you can't achieve. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can't overcome. So be humble. Notice that every person that once got graded something first started, they were bad, really bad. And once you go through that process, if you have the right mindset, if you have the right help, like right person teaching you, guiding you, you're going to get there if you're hungry enough.
Julius, before we go to the personal growth segment, I just want to comment and ask your opinion on identity. A lot of the students who start out in the Jake and Gino community, they don't identify as multifamily investors. They're still identifying as the pizza guy or as the drug rep. You as the, you know, Super Bowl tight end. And all of a sudden your identity is being switched over to a father, as well as getting into the world of neuroscience and getting on those stages. How do you work on your identity? How did you tell yourself that, hey, that was my old identity? It's great. I love that. But how do I switch over into this new identity and embrace it? Because I think identities are belief driven. You know, your behaviors are the belief driven. If you believe that you identify as the thing you're trying to accomplish, whether it's a multifamily investor, whether it's being a good father, and being a good father is being there for your children, right? Whatever that identity is, how have you been able to overcome that? Because when you are elite at something, all of a sudden you've got to humble yourself and think long-term.
I think Julius likes being the underdog, Gino. he thrives on it.
It's a space, man. It's a space that I learned to enjoy in the neighborhood I grew up in. And I think that when you're really trying to focus on, okay, how do I change my identity, right? What are these things? I laugh. I go, okay, stop for a second. What's your identity, right? Julius, your identity is a Pro Bowl tight end. Since when? My identity when I was in middle school was I was the kid with too big of feet that was slower than a lot of the other kids I went to school with. My identity in high school was I was a undersized post player with the potential to go to college. So when you start thinking about identity, you realize that it's so much connected to what somebody's doing over and over and over. So when you make a switch in a career, of course, that's not your identity. No one knows you as that. You don't even know yourself as that. That's fine. Because when you do it over and over and over again, when you start changing the way you talk, changing the things you do, changing the way you present yourself, your identity starts changing. It's crazy because 30 years from now, people are going to know me as the multifamily investor. 30 years from now, no one's going to know me as the football player. The football player is just most recent. It's the thing I was doing before I did this. 30 years from now, people are going to know me as Dr. Thomas, that is an expert in neuroscience. And they're going to be like, what? That old gray-haired dude played football? When? For who? Who's Peyton Manning? You know, like all that stuff is going to happen. So our identity is always changing based on our experiences. And I say, welcome it, right? But what happens is our ego doesn't like it. What I realized going from being a professional athlete to walking into a doctor-level psychology class first year of graduate school was I wasn't an expert anymore. And that was what was gutting me. I went from being one of the world's best to an inexperienced novice in a short period of time. And what I realized is I didn't have the confidence. And I think that I had to be humble and honest about it is I didn't know if I belonged there. I didn't know if I had the skill set to succeed there. And my mind was telling me all these things because my mind wanted to push me back to where it's safe, right? That's the human mind is all about safety. So it wants to maintain these safe spaces, but we have the ability to go outside of that. And that's what you're doing when you're changing your identity. You're saying, thanks, mind. I appreciate all that help, but I'm actually going over here. My belief, my vision is over there, and I'm going to do it. And when we do that over and over, not only do we change our identity, but we grow in confidence. 900 hours, 150 patients later, I'm seeing myself more as a clinician than I did before that started. Because you put the time in. And if you put the time in, the identity will change.
That fear and uncertainty that you just described there is the number one reason why people go from wanting to be a multifamily investor to then quitting. And that's the biggest bridge. Because think about anybody that's in the space. You weren't born a multifamily investor. It didn't just happen. You put hours in, and then all of a sudden people started to say, oh, that person invest in apartments. They're in the apartment space. Then they did it for a little bit longer. Oh, now they have some success. Now they have some units. Now they have a portfolio. Now they've done a little bit of this and that. That's how people become these multifamily investors. They're not born with it.
Yep.
Gang, you can do the same thing if you put in the work and the hours. It is a time commitment. Okay. It's persistence to Julius's point. So really appreciate you sharing that.
No, man, absolutely. It's always the emotional things. If there's one thing I learned from being in graduate school, studying emotion will teach you that it's the emotions that are uncomfortable for us that start to direct our behavior. And that's what I help people with. Why are you not wanting to do this? You get down, ask enough questions. It's fear. Oh, it's anger. Oh, it's sadness. It's doubt. It's pressure. Sit with that feeling. It's just a sensation. It's just in here somewhere. If you don't have the tools, be humble. Admit it. I don't got the tools that I need. Go get them. Go find them. There's always an opportunity. When they say, when the student is ready, the teacher shall appear. And I found that to be true throughout life. And I know that it's going to be true for everyone.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Get involved in multifamily. This is where you need to be.
The team you've built is incredible.
There is no egos here. Everyone is always looking to help the other person.
All right, we're back. We're going to dissect you right now. All right, we're gonna open up the hood and find out what makes it tick here. So, starting off with organization and planning. Is there anything that you do to stay organized, plan your week? And you know, make sure that you know things are not getting missed.
Absolutely. If you don't have organization and planning, how do you stay on point, right? Like, how do you consistently perform at a high level if you don't have a system? For me, what I do for organization and planning is I fill the notes section in all my devices. I'm the kind of guy that I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, right, and I'm thinking about ideas, or I'm contemplating, you know, kind of which direction do I want to take? What's important to me, right? Like, that's when people always say, get out of the default mode network. No, that's okay. I like it sometimes, right? Because that's your mental whiteboard. And I want to plan there. And when I come up and I have these thoughts and these directions I want to go, I just tap notes. It's so easy. These devices make it so easy. Tap the notes on your phone. Set a goal for yourself. Write it down. And then every couple of days, every day, look at that note in your phone and then ask yourself, oh, do I really want that? Am I really doing the things that note said? And then over time, you start stacking more notes. Every time I get on a call with somebody, I have my iPad out and I'm writing notes during that call. So now my iPad has notes. Now my phone has notes. My computer has notes. And for me, that's how I keep everything organized, because nothing happens on accident. One thing that I learned from being in professional environments is planning is everything. You got to decide what is it that I want to do. And then you got to start plotting out how you're going to get there. And you got to be prepared for bumps to come up and know that, yeah, you're going to get through them. And organization and planning, I can't think of two things that are going to be more important if you want to enhance the speed and the potential at which you're trying to get to. Like, I mean, I just can't imagine not having organization and plans if you want to be highly effective.
What about, do you have anything that you do from like a dietary perspective? Are you dialed in on that, or is it, hey man, I'm just going to eat the pizza and the subs and roll with it?
Everything I do is disciplined. I mean, if I'm going to get on stage, or if I'm going to sit in a room and I'm going to talk to somebody like, hey, you need to increase your discipline, I got to first do it. Every day is the same for me. I start off every day. I either have 2 eggs. And if I don't have time that morning, I go get the bacon egg bites. So 2 eggs at Starbucks. And I usually have green tea, or if I need a little bit more caffeine that day, black coffee, right? That's my breakfast every day. I like to have a light breakfast, because if I have a light breakfast, I cut out about 600 calories right there, saved. Get a little hunger pains coming towards lunch, but that's fine. Then I usually try to eat a low carb diet, right? For me, I don't need all the carbohydrates. I'm not running miles and miles a day anymore. So I try to make sure that I have my low carb, high protein diet. And then every day I have a protein vegetable supplement. And then I also take fish oil, multivitamin supplement, and I take a little vitamin D to make sure that I'm having some of my essential supplements in the day. And it's like that every single day. Like, that's not the diet that I go to when I'm like, oh, you know, gained a little extra weight. No, this is just the everyday thing. And I follow that unless I'm on like a international vacation or something. And then I give myself some room to have that omelet breakfast.
No, thank you. He follows the yellow brick road. You mentioned jiu-jitsu before. Is that all you're doing for fitness these days, or you lifting? What's the fitness routine?
Yeah. So, I like to lift 2 days a week. I was forced to lift my whole life. I've spent hours and hours in a weight room, so I don't really want to do it that much anymore. But I know I need to do it enough now just to keep the strength, keep all my joints as protected as possible. And then I try to do jiu-jitsu 4 times a week. When I was doing my clinical rotation, I could only get in twice a week. And I told every single person I did jiu-jitsu with, when my clinical rotation ends, I'm going to up my jiu-jitsu to 4 times a week, because that's the piece that I need to do to grow and becoming master of this sport. And it's funny because I tell people all the time, if you're truly going to do something, tell everyone around you. Start telling everyone.
No escape at that point.
Yeah, they're going to hold you accountable. They're going to be like, dude, you're on shit. You told me you're going to do it.
I like that.
No, I'm telling everybody, because I want everybody to be like, hey, what'd you say? You're right. Because when I start speaking it, I'm going to have to start living it out. And jiu-jitsu, it keeps me, gives me all the cardio I need. I mean, you do an hour and a half of jiu-jitsu 4 times a week. You really got after it.
I've noticed that with myself. So if I start telling people something, I'm like scared if I don't do it. So it puts more pressure on me to make it happen. It's a really great tip. Yeah.
And that's how you develop a personal standard, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're not about your word, then what are you about it? So you start telling people what you're going to do, and then you got to live up to it.
Any meditation or spirituality practices?
Absolutely. Meditation is something that's really important for me. It's something I teach. It's something I've trained in. It's something that I know has a great benefit on the brain and the body, just being able to create that relaxation response. Also teach you how to control your attention. One thing we don't talk about enough in this world is the power of attention and how it's dwindling, right? All these reports are coming out. Humans are able to have less attention than a goldfish, whatever, this or that. I don't know what's true, what's not, but I do know that mastering attention is important for you psychologically to stay healthy, but it's also effective in how you perform. And the last thing I do is stretching. I cannot tell people enough what stretching has done for my overall health. It's like a meditation in and of itself. If you spend 40 minutes a night stretching,
whoa,
what happens to
40?
Your 40 minutes. I started off sitting.
You got to be watching like Gilmore Girls while you're doing that, right? Or something fun.
Cross. I, you know, I watch these shows like on History Channel, Discovery Channel, like Naked and Afraid, Alone, because I want to watch people suffering. I'm telling you, it's built into my life, man. And if I'm saying it,
that's where the growth comes in, though.
That's where the growth comes in. But sit in the lotus position, right? 7 minutes. Watch what starts happening to your hips. I mean, every time I get into that crisscross applesauce, I'm like, oh, this burns so bad. Then you learn to sit with it, right? Sit with the burn. Learn that it's good for you. And really stretching has been phenomenal for me. So I try to stretch about 40 minutes a night.
All right, last question. Any personal finance tips? Any hacks out there that you want to share?
Yeah, live way below your means if you're able to, right? Like, I do not like financial strain. I learned that from
that's not a fun pain, right? We don't want to promote that one. That one sucks.
It's like I lived so many days of my life with less than $20 in my pocket. And I had a great time. I was able to do a lot of the things I needed to do. And maybe I was a high schooler and I can't do that now with a family and other responsibilities and stuff. But what I can do is watch my budget. And if you can always live with a little wiggle room between your expenses and your income, that's really going to help you out a lot. And if you can't, I understand there's people in those circumstances, but if you have the ability to, if you can look and say, man, I can cut this out and I can have this little gap, then when things come up, you don't have this stress of, wow, how's that going to get paid? What am I going to do about that? So that's one of my personal financial tips. Just, hey, if you're bringing in X amount, try to live off, you know, a little bit under it.
I got one for you. You ready?
Yep.
So my wife comes home yesterday and said, look, they didn't have any filet left. I ate a shit ton of filet.
Yeah.
She said, but they gave me the sirloin and it was like a third of the price. And I haven't tried it yet, but he's like, no, if you cook it right, it's actually better.
Really? So
there, I haven't had it yet. It's tonight. So I'll report back. But, you know, hey, and look, if it's food related, you might be losing some pounds too, right? If you cut it out. So anyways, we'll see. I'll report back on that one. All right, Gino, the recap. You're up, big doggy.
Is it my turn right now, Jake?
You're
sure?
Up, dude. You're up, man.
Okay, I am up. So Julius Thomas, Stockton, California, walking around with big feet in high school with less than 20 bucks in his pocket, goes to college, play basketball, and he sees that, man, I want to play football. So he gets on the football field, gets ridiculed, starts being made fun of, can't run routes, and ultimately just sticks with it and gets into the NFL, becomes an NFL player, and you know, wins the Super Bowl, a couple Pro Bowls. I think it was three Pro Bowls, but there's been a lot of sacrifice there. Imagine catching your first pass and being out for 2 years after that and staying there and being committed to become the best that you can be at that sport. And then after 7 years, deciding to leave at the height of, you know, the height of the money, the height of the fame, the height of the career, and saying that God's calling me to do something else, to sit in the classroom and to become a psychologist. I mean, that's a huge step in life. And I think coming up with all of the different steps, I really want to go through his whole mastery program. I wrote them down. I want you all to write them down because they're important. I think discipline is really important there. He's got mastery, being committed, being able to sacrifice, having guidance is really important. Those role models and guidance from the Lord as well, being resilient and having that peer group. And ultimately that last component, having the accountability, being able to say it out loud and being able to hold yourself accountable to doing the things that you say you want to do. So it's really a life well lived. And hopefully 30 years from now, Dr. Thomas will still be out there inspiring others. I know he's going to be in Orlando on November 5th and 6th, inspiring the Jake and Gino community out there, but it's been an amazing life. And, you know, put everything into perspective, everybody. I mean, when you think you're having a rough day out there, there's a lot of people having days that are a lot rougher than you. So just let's keep things in perspective and let's just go out there and continue to work hard.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for your time today. And as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G Daddy and he's Julius. And we make it happen. We'll see you guys next time.